Hi, I'm Ray Hager, and welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is Anjanette Damon. She's the City Hall reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal, and we'll be talking about the Andrew Klinger controversy. And on the pundit panel, we have Dory Guy, Chris Wicker, and Sam Kumar. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
Hi, I'm Ray Hager with Nevada Newsmakers, standing in for Sam Chan. Today's guest is Reno and Nevada's number one political and government reporter, Anjanette Damon of the Reno Gazette-Journal. Welcome to you, Anjanette.
Well, thank you. I hope to live up to that introduction.
Yes. I was going to say pound for pound, the best reporter in Nevada, but that's an old boxing thing and it wouldn't really apply. But because a lot of, well, anyway, let's just move on before I put my foot in my mouth. Okay. I wanted to talk to you about the Andrew Klinger sexual harassment controversy that is surrounding the Reno city government and really Reno government overall. It seems like people have a laser focus on this. Of course, the study or the investigation just came out, and so I wanted to start with this. In the 2018 election, Mayor Hillary Sheevy is up for re-election. Naomi Doerr, who is up for re-election, and she has been in the middle of this controversy, and then Councilman Paul McKenzie is also up for re-election. He's been kind of sitting on the fence, it seems to me. But what do you think about this whole Andrew Klinger sexual harassment controversy? Do you think it could hurt the re-election chances of any of these people?
Yeah, I imagine so. And this is to assume that they all run for re-election. The three of them have not announced their intentions one way or the other yet. You know, the investigation report, the center of it was Andrew Klinger, but it certainly brought into light an entire system at City Hall that could be described as dysfunctional. You had executive staff that were deeply unhappy. You had council members that were going around Andrew Klinger to talk individually to staff to try and get their pet projects done or what they thought was important done. You had council members talking to the women who had filed the complaint, urging them to file the complaint. And so looking at it as a whole, I think voters are going to say, hey, what is going on at City Hall? This has been a huge distraction. It's cost us a lot of money as taxpayers. What are you going to do to fix it? And can they put it city back on the right footing in the next 2 years?
Well, you know, I'm really wondering about Mayor Sheevy's chances of being reelected, because according to the report that was recently put out, which the city paid to have done, is that one of the women involved in this said that the 15th floor executive offices of the Reno city government was, quote unquote, a toxic cesspool. And I could just see any kind of opposition research being done on Hillary Sheevy. And that would be this toxic cesspool comment. It seems like a, you know, a godsend to the person who would be, you know, potentially running against our current mayor.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a soundbite that you could see on mailers and on TV and on the radio for sure. And I think, you know, the mayor is, since she was elected, she's seen herself basically as the head of the city, whether or not the Supreme Court says that or not. She, people turn to her right. as the person who they think is running the city. She takes that that title seriously, and she's been known to be on the 15th floor all the time. She has her own staff meetings. She has this operation downtown that she convened outside of the normal city council process. And so when you look at this investigation report, you see a mayor who kind of is walking this line. One, the day after Andrew Klinger's job performance evaluation, where his contract was renewed and he got a raise, or a raise, she called a meeting of executive staff and said, sexual harassment will not be tolerated in this city. This is what the policy is. And if it's happening, it needs to stop and you need to report it. So a lot of people see that as her having an integral role in the women filing the complaint. But then you also see that she wasn't necessarily happy with Andrew Klinger's job performance either. And other council members have accused her of being kind of two-faced on this, that privately she'll express concerns and publicly she goes out there and she saves Andrew Klinger. The report shows that the mayor really was the one that saved his job from three council members who were prepared to either put him on a temporary contract or some sort of probation. She said, we're not going to do that. And she saved Andrew Klinger's job.
You know, in the report, Klinger was cleared on sexual harassment violations, but the report also showed a hostile work environment under his leadership. And do you think this will eventually go to a lawsuit with Klinger against the city?
Well, no, Andrew Klinger can't sue the city. In his termination agreement, he accepted lawyer's fees and he agreed not to sue the city for anything arising out of this. Whether or not he has claims against the individual women would be something I think that might be explored. The lawsuit that will likely come out of this are from the three women. They've hired a very aggressive attorney. He yet has expressed an opinion on this investigation. He's putting together a response. Hopefully we'll see that this week. But it sounds like they're really ramping up for litigation.
When do you think that might start, Anjanette?
I keep asking that, and I haven't gotten a straight answer out of the lawyer. There's an entire process with the Nevada Equal Rights Commission that needs to take place prior to a lawsuit being filed. So it could be weeks, months.
Okay, let's take a break right now. When we come back, I want to ask you about some specifics about the report that I want to get you to comment on, if I could. We'll be right back after these messages with Nevada's number one political and government reporter, Anjanette Damon of the Reno Gazette-Journal.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Well, we're back with Anjanette Damon. She's the political government watchdog reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal, and she's in the middle of this Andrew Klinger sexual harassment controversy at City Hall. Anjanette, before we get into the specifics of the report on the sexual harassment issues, years ago, you wrote a story on a similar incident involving Klinger when he was the state budget director under Governor Jim Gibbons. If you could you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, this is definitely dating myself, but back when I was a younger reporter covering the state capitol, the governor and Andrew Klinger were sued by the woman who the governor accused of blowing the whistle on him having using his state phone to text message his alleged paramour. The woman who filed that suit said that she was being retaliated against by Andrew Klinger and the governor for filing a complaint against Andrew Klinger, and that centered on some overly affectionate behavior with his wife in the office. And to my memory, nothing came of that particular complaint. The lawsuit was settled, and we haven't seen all of the details of that lawsuit. It was years ago, so it's, you know, diving back in my memory here. But that incident was brought up by other people familiar with it during this entire investigation. And as the investigation report came out, some people have said to me, well, why wasn't that past incident taken into account here? You know, that said, I think the investigator was trying to take as narrow a look as possible at what was happening at City Hall. And I'm not exactly sure how relevant that incident was, but some people definitely say that that could lend an appearance of a trend.
Okay. In the report on the investigation commissioned by the city council, there was the investigated stated that there was rumors of a romantic affair between Klinger and just a woman they just referred to as Jane Doe, and then another woman referred to as woman number one filed a complaint alleging she overheard a sexual encounter between Klinger and Jane Doe. Of course, there is no proof of this, according to the investigation, but she was, did I have that right? She overheard a sexual encounter?
Yeah, she says that she didn't actually see it, that they didn't know that she was there. And upon further questions, there's just no way to corroborate what she reported. She waited a year before she came forward with it. She came forward with that information after the mayor held the meeting saying, we're not going to, you know, the sexual harassment cannot happen in the city. And so, yeah, the investigators, both investigators pretty much said, well, she didn't see anything. There's no witnesses to corroborate it. And the second investigator went, he interviewed dozens of people. He reviewed thousands of text messages that Andrew Klinger and his lawyer provided between Andrew Klinger and Jane Doe and Woman 3. The newspaper, in writing this, I've given these acronyms to the women because they're hard to keep straight. But he found no confirmable evidence of a sexual relationship between Andrew Klinger and Jane Doe. That said, they had a very close relationship, an informal, casual relationship. The two depended on each other. And apparently the relationship ran hot and cold. So, you know, one day they were laughing and happy and everybody was great. And then the next day they were, you know, having argument about something the rest of the office didn't know. And this created an uncomfortable atmosphere. You know, the mayor said in the report, it seemed to her that Andrew would play one woman off the other woman. And the investigator ultimately found that while there was no sexual proof of sexual relationships, that under Andrew's leadership, the work environment became so hostile and basically unsafe for women to continue working.
Okay,
there.
Well, there was a woman that in the report called Woman Number 3, and she said she felt she had to flirt with Klinger to get ahead because of Jane Doe's success. And in this, she alleged that Klinger touched her neck on an elevator and rubbed her leg in an executive staff meeting. Well, could you expand on that?
The elevator incident occurred after Woman 3 reported what she thought was an improper project involving the Reno Police Department. And they had a meeting about it. Apparently it didn't go well. And they were all in the elevator. And she alleges that Andrew Klinger asked her if she was okay and then touched her neck and said, well, if she's red right here, she's not okay. The staff meeting, the patting on the leg incident was apparently, or it was witnessed by another, we call him Man Number One. But the investigator found that there was probably no sexual intent in these incidences. Woman Number 3 actually came back in the second investigation, wrote an email saying, I never intended to be part of a sexual harassment investigation. I came to the human resources for protection against possible retaliation. the investigator really keyed on the fact that he wasn't able to go back and interview any of these three women. So he was unable to substantiate those occurrences.
Well, what a sordid tale this is, and you've done some great reporting on this. We got to cut it off right here. Thank you, Ann Jeanette Damon with the Reno Gazette Journal.
Thank you.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers and our pundit panel today. Let me first introduce Sam Kumar, the former Washoe County GOP chairman, and then Chris Wicker, a current member of the Democratic National Committee and a spokesman for the Washoe County Democrats. Welcome to you both. What I wanted to talk about, and I want to start with you, Sam, is that on the national level here, there seems to be consternation by some and approval by others that President-elect Donald Trump doesn't seem to trust our intelligence agency's assessment about Russian hacking of the election. And to some, it's almost treasonous that Trump is siding not so much with American intelligence, but siding more with the Russians. What do you think of that?
I totally disagree with the premise of your question. I don't think Donald Trump ever said that he doesn't trust the intelligence community. He has selected two of the most capable people to run the intelligence community. So there are two different things going on here. One is, did Russia try to disrupt our elections? Breaking news, guys. I mean, Russia has been trying to disrupt everyone everywhere. So that shouldn't be a surprise to us. Did they conduct espionage? I don't know. They need to, you know, the intelligence community has not presented the evidence so far. I think it's incorrect to say that somehow Donald Trump is siding with the Russians and he doesn't trust the intelligence community.
Now, Sam, he did say that he did point out the intelligence community's maybe mistakes when we went into the Middle East under George W. Bush. Remember, the weapons of mass destruction that were supposed to be there were never there. They were wrong there. So maybe Trump thinks that they could be wrong now. Chris, I wanted to turn it over to you to see what you think about this.
Yeah, I think Vladimir Putin has figured out the key to Donald Trump. All you have to do is stroke his ego and he'll roll over on his back and ask to be petted on his tummy. He's the new Putin poodle. And Donald Trump's statements that he's made about he in support of Julian Assange, who is the head of WikiLeaks, who is done tried to do so much damage to this country and other stable democracies around the world, and is clearly in the pocket of the Russians. And then the Russians' attack on our democracy. I'm sorry to hear Sam use the cop out that the intelligence agencies have not presented evidence. Well, the fact is that all of our intelligence agencies, I think it's 11 or 17, have come to the same conclusion that the Russians attacked our democracy and tried to influence the election. And I don't think it's the fact that Trump does not trust our intelligence agencies, although he's been talking trash about them since before he got elected. What it is it all goes back to Trump. If Trump thinks it hurts his ego or affects his image, then he's against it. And that's what this is all about, is Trump thinks that if he got elected with the help of the Russians, then he doesn't like it. So he's going to attack that very idea. And it all goes back to, we have elected an egomaniac who is a child in the foreign affairs arena. And the key to Donald Trump is just stroke his ego, and you've got him in your pocket.
Sam, would you like to respond?
Absolutely. To quote former Democratic Senator Pat Moynihan, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. Here are the facts. Obama is the one who leaned over to Medvedev about 4 years ago and said, tell Vladimir, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. Hillary is the one who walked around with the reset button. And Obama is the one who challenged Romney and told him, and Romney told him, Russia is the most important geopolitical threat. Obama turned around and told him, 80s wants its foreign policy back. Those are absolute, irrefutable facts. It's all on video. So we need to go back and look at it. Now, we can speculate that, you know, Donald Trump rolls over on his back and all of that. Whether he's seeming or whether he's being remains to be seen. He may be pretending to be that, but the reality may be totally different. I think he'll strike a very, very tough bargain against the Russians. And again, this is another point that I want to make. Russia has all the money they need to cause all this trouble because of the oil prices. We jacked up oil to over $100 a barrel because we were stupid not to drill anywhere because Obama was held by green interests. If we had drilled, the price of oil would have been significantly lower. Iran would not have the opportunity to challenge us, neither would Russia. And that's something that's lost in the shuffle that needs to be focused on.
That's a whole another discussion about the threat of climate change to the world. But the fact is that we did try to reconcile with Russia, and when they went against our interests by invading Crimea and the other things that they've done, we've tried to stop them. Now, China remains the primary geopolitical foe. Russia is an empty economy with nuclear missiles, and they're able to cause trouble, but they're not in the long term. But we have to respond to attack on our democracy.
Real quickly, Sam, I'll give you 10 seconds to respond.
This Russia thing is a creation of our own. We should have responded much sooner. We emboldened them. We are paying the price for it now.
Okay, we got to stop it right there. Great discussion today, gentlemen. We'll be right back to wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Thanks for listening. On our next broadcast, we'll have Sean McGinnis. He's a partner with Lewis Rocha and Roth Gerber. We'll be talking about international gaming. And our pundit panel will have Dory Guy, Chris Wicker, and Sam Kumar. That's all coming up on our next broadcast of Nevada Newsmakers.